I'm going to quote you two scriptures and we'll go from there. One is found in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Then I want to quote St. John chapter 7, verse 38, and it's exactly reversed to that. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, can you see two different things there? Here we find that these people had committed two evil. They'd hewn them out cistern, broken cistern. How many knows what a cistern is? A cistern is something that you have to haul water and put it in there or it won't last. But a well or something springing up with water is something that has a continuous flow. Now, Jesus said, notice what he said there, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers. Not just a river, but rivers of living water. What's he talking about? It's a spiritual thing. He spake of the Spirit, that's what he was talking about, and the Holy Ghost, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I was thinking here, there's different things that we want to talk about tonight, but I was thinking even a lake. Now, if you talk about rivers flowing, and that says out of you, if you believe, as the scripture has said, and you get what God's word tells you to get, then you're going to have rivers flowing. And if you've got rivers flowing, the devil kind of has to move out of the way because he don't like rivers. He likes dry places. How many knows that? But he doesn't like rivers. But I was thinking here, this river that he's talking about, rivers, it's living water. And how many knows that living water has continuous flow? Not just once in a while. Living water has continuous flow. I was thinking about James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, you know, rain produces something for a little while. You know, it comes a good hard rain. There's puddles here and puddles there and puddles somewhere else. But I don't believe we want a puddle religion, huh? I don't believe we want a dry religion. I don't believe that we want something that just gets up there after a while, like after the rain, and then dies down. So I was thinking about the different kinds, the believer with rivers. Then I was thinking about the living water that continues to flow. And if I was thinking about a lake, a big lake, pretty good sized lake. You know, it doesn't always overflow. But it will overflow when the rivers comes into the lake and the waters gets up. Rivers have overflowed in lots of lakes this year and washed things away. So there's the rivers that comes into a lake, and a lake, we don't want a lake experience, do we? I want something that's running all time. I want something that I can count on when I get up of a morning that I don't have to examine myself to see if I'm saved or not. I get up and have a little word of prayer, and after a while, the tears begin to flow and the rivers begin to flow. They've actually flowed all night. I just didn't realize it. You see, something that's continuous flow, it has a constant, continuous flow. And so then the overflow, lakes overflow a little while, then there's the rain. It comes down once in a while. How many know sometimes we don't have rains all the time? We had a dry season last year up in Missouri, but we've had plenty of water. It's been cool. It's been nice. And the grass up there is just as green as it was in May. And you know why? Because of the rain. But the rain don't always come down. It comes down when God gets ready for it to come down. So we don't want a rainy season Christian experience. How many wants that? No. So we have the well experience. The cistern experience. The experience is where you have to pour, and you know, I see this a lot of time in churches. I hope it ain't that way here, But you work and you pour water in the cistern all week, and next month you got to have some more water hold to put in the cistern. I don't believe that's a very good religion, do you? I don't believe that's a very good experience. You know, if somebody has to pour water into each one of us all the time to keep us pumped, how many remember the old pumps that they used to have? I remember when I was a boy, you know, and the leather in them or whatever it was would dry out, you know, and you'd have to pour some water into it to get it pumping, you know, and pour a little water in there. And after a while, that would swell up and then water would begin to flow when you pumped it. I don't want that kind of experience. So we don't want to be pumped up every time, do we? I'm getting to something. We don't want a pumped up experience and a dried out experience or something that dries out, pumps up. We have to feed it all the time to keep it going. We need a continuous thing. And you know how that comes? I'll get into it a minute, by faith. Now, the two evils that they had forsaken the Lord with was the hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that could hold no water. In Van Buren, Missouri, about 60 miles from where I live, a little less than 60 miles from where I live, there's the biggest spring, they say, in the United States. It's like a river. I mean, with flowing full force. It gushes out from a mountain there. I go over there sometimes and I look at it and I wonder, where in the world is all that water coming from? When it gets in the riverbed, it forms what is called Current River there. And the Current River is a big river on down the river. Donovan, Missouri, set on Current River. But I think of that spring that comes there where it starts. It just comes out of the mountain. It's coming with such force that the air is just filled with moisture where it's coming out of there. You know, that's kind of like to have my experience to be. Wouldn't you like to have something that the well don't go dry? Wouldn't you like to have something that just comes and goes? I'll tell you what, you can count on it. I've been going over there for many, 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 many years, ever since I was just a child, and that river's flowing exactly the same as it was 80 years ago, 70 years ago, 60 years ago, 50 years ago. It's flowing just exactly the same. It never stops. It keeps on going. I'll tell you what we need today in the church. We need a bunch of people that's going to keep on going. And I believe that I'm looking at a bunch of people here tonight that can get something going and keep it going around here and keep the thing well watered down to the place that people's going to get down to business with God and say, I'm going to go over where the water is. I'm going to go down where the power is. I'm going to go down where the blessing is. I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go to church. I believe if we get a revival spirit in our communities, not just in our churches, but in our communities. I believe there were 6 pastors here the other night. My Lord, I watched them. They all seemed to enjoy themselves. I'll tell you what, God has got something for us. And as I said, that big spring there in Van Buren, Missouri, you can count on it being there. And there's other springs around there the same way, 50 miles away, like Big Spring Greer Spring and different other springs, and it's putting out a lot of water in those mountains there. So I'd like to go on just a little bit. It comes from belief. Turn your Bible, John 7:38. Now you can't have this and not believe. Somebody said, I don't see no river flowing out of you. Well, they're flowing. We'll get back to the things that we was trying to get into the other night. The things that you can't see is more important than what you see. Huh? Because how many sees the word of God coming out my mouth? Huh? How do you know there's any word coming out of my mouth? You're hearing. You're hearing what the Spirit has to say to the church if I've got the right message. And if I've got the wrong message, the Lord will punish me. You know, I've learned a long time that ministers have to really be careful what we say. We have to be careful that we've got the right thing, because I don't want to deceive you. I want you to have the waters of life. When I leave a place, I want them to know that the waters is flowing and the waters is flowing from them and the joy is what I hear you talking about, the good things of God, and these waters keep flowing, and we don't want bitter waters either. We want sweet waters. There's some springs out west that has gypsum in it. There ain't no way you could drink that water. But I'll tell you, the water I'm talking about, rivers of living water, is pure water. It's clear water. It's something that will do you good. It doesn't have germs in it. It doesn't have sickness in it. I remember back in the Great Depression, they had a whole bunch of typhoid fever going on in the community I was in. People were dying from it. 1933 and 34 is when it was. And people were dying. I remember that just as well as it was yesterday. I was just a little bitty boy, but my dad went one night and sat with some people that was dying with that. When he come back, he had to boil his clothes in the wash kettle to kill all the germs because it was very dangerous, very contagious. But how did they get that? They got it from an old well that was stopped up, and mosquitoes had laid eggs in there. And all these kind of things had happened in there. And then they broke out into typhoid fever, and one whole family of several, all of them but one or two died with that. And other families began to get it, and they had to be very careful to boil their clothes even. But I remember what my mom said, I don't want this little boy to get that. Well, I remember that. My mother was taking care of me. How many knows that? My dad took care of me because he boiled his clothes and he helped the people, but yet he was careful. Sometimes we got to be careful about some things. We got to be careful that we don't have a disease. I'm talking about a spiritual disease. I'm talking about something you can't see. You can't see germs floating through the air. You can't see a lot of things. But I want to talk about this believing. Believing. Back to what you can't see the spiritual things here. Ain't they more important? You can't see the word coming out of my mouth. You can't see the song coming out of these good people that sing good songs to us tonight. Huh? You couldn't see that. You can't see the angel that encamps around about them that love him. Can you? So the things that you don't see, you can't see the river. So therefore, you don't, if we're counting on the carnal status of this thing, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans because if what we can't see, we don't believe it's there. If we're carnal. But notice what he said there in John 7:38. And he's talking about the believer. Definitely the believer. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Now that's believing it just like the Bible said. We have so many differences in belief today that it brings confusion. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion, James said. And where confusion is, there's ever evil work. God don't never let a church or any people that I've preached to here this week get in a state of confusion. No, no, never a state of confusion. But you know how it starts? There's a soured up stream and a bitter stream and an infected stream called envy and strife. It's infected with all kinds of disease. Germs and all kinds of things, but you don't see this thing, but it's there. And when it's fed, where envy and strife is, there's what? Confusion. James says it. Where there's confusion, there's every evil work. When I first latched on to that scripture and really began to study it, I thought that can't be. But I've watched it for 55 years as I've went from place to place preaching, and where there's confusion. Where the enemy could stir up a little envy, a little malice, a little hatred, a little strife. If he can just do that, he's got it where he wants it. Because where envy and strife is, it produces the bad waters of confusion. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion. Where confusion is, there is every evil work. I used to look that over. And then I watched. After a while, want to do this and want to do that. And pretty soon, the church had all, every evil work. God help us that this never happens to ours up there at Donovan, and it never happens here to you because it's a terrible thing to have confusion. It's a terrible thing to have envy and strife because envy and strife brings forth confusion, and that confusion will produce in the congregation every evil work. Somebody will run off with somebody's wife. Somebody will do something else. Somebody will backslide. Somebody will go get drunk. Somebody will do this. And it produces every evil work. I'm encouraged with you people. You've been faithful every night. You don't look confused to me. I know what a confused person looks like. They're holding their head down and they're trying to figure out what to do, and they're running over to this person and say, what would you do? And they run back to this brother here and say, what would you do? Listen, it's not what we do. It's what the Bible says for us to do. Get in that Word of God. Quit leaning on someone else. If you keep on doing, you may get a whole lot of good advice, but after a while, you're going to get some bad advice. Huh? We're envying, striving. There is confusion. You know what? Confusion produces empty churches. Confusion produces envy and strife produces confusion. And where confusion is, it produces every evil work. Can you imagine that? Cheating, stealing. I used to say, I've seen everything now. Do you know I don't say that no more? Because the devil's hatching out new things all the time. Huh? I was just thinking last night when I was telling about the man that came in the brush arbor with a shotgun and was going to shoot me. That's what he said he's going to do. I don't know. I didn't think too much about it. Usually back then, it's just blowhorns doing that. But I want to tell you, I'd think something about it if a man walked through that door right now with a shotgun. Because people's got a spirit right now, they'll kill you. They just boom, 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 boom. That's the spirit. And you know, it just might have been that spirit was working on that man just a little bit. And it's developed down through times right now where we need to be careful on everything, because the enemy is out there doing everything he can to destroy. Do you know what the devil come to do? Turn your Bibles to St. John 10:10. Let's identify the devil. You know, he looks good. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven. I don't know how he looks now, but he was then. Listen to what he said. The thief. How many knows who he's a thief? The thief cometh not but for to steal. So he's a thief. He come to steal. The next thing he come to do was to kill or to destroy. Those three things anyway. I may not have them in line. But the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'll tell you who I am. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. What kind of life is that? That's that living water that flows through us, that keeps us flushed out and clean. The washing of the water by the Word, Ephesians chapter 5 said, that he might present us as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The washing of the water by the Word, having our mind cleansed by the Word of God. The Word of God is a washing, is what it is. So, back to faith. I can't hardly get to my message. Let's go to 37.
John 7:37.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, if anybody's thirsty, if you need something, where does it say to go? Did come unto me. Remember that scripture in Matthew chapter 11:28. Now, we always go to the Lord. You don't go to somebody. They might innocently make a mistake. And you can't afford mistakes in your life. Listen to what it said. We can make a mistake. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I want to read that one. I'll just quote it here. Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you're all wore out and beat down and everything, go to him. He'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. That means hooked up together. Hook up with him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You need some rest? Go to him. I'll tell you, he's the rest giver. He said, if you'll just come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Identifying him again, St. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. What kind of a life? The living water kind. Come to the waters. Come to these living waters that we're talking about here tonight. He says, come unto me. Now notice what he's saying here. John 70 and verse 38, he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of, now what kind of water? Back to it again, living water. Living water means pure water. It means running water. It means a continuous source of water. Living water, living water. That's what we want is living water. I used to do it maybe when I was out of in the woods, you know, hunting squirrels or something, be gone a long time when I was just a boy, you know. I'd just get so thirsty out there and I'd come along to a place where there's a puddle of water and it looked clear. So I'd take a drink out of it just to get my thirst settled. But that would have been dangerous too. He said living water. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the light. No man comes to the Father but by him. So he said, he that believeth on me, we got to believe this thing. Like the scripture said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So he's talking spiritual things to you again, not just about water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Well, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have the Holy Ghost, but if you believe on him, you should receive it. Huh? And if somebody said, well, I've tried it, well, just keep on trying. Huh? And you can get the Holy Ghost anywhere. A lot of folks say, well, I'm going to church to get the Holy Ghost. How about under a hickory nut tree? That's as good as any place. How many knows the Lord's out there? Preaching revival in Willow Springs, Missouri one time, and another fellow was preaching there too. The Holy Ghost got to falling. I mean, different denominational people around there was getting the Holy Ghost. Power of God was really moving. Really moving. And one man's wife, they was of a different denomination, both of them were, but she got the Holy Ghost and she began to act different. How many knows you act different when you get full of the Holy Ghost? It's not the same old 6 and 7. I'll tell you, it's something different when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. So he began to notice his wife. He was a staunch believer but in his religion, but he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues, you know. So he watched her, and she was doing everything different, and her lifestyle had changed, and just everything, you know. She just easy to get along with, and all kinds of things. So they had some cattle on their farm, and one day he walked off over to get the cattle in the afternoon, and he come to an old hickory nut tree, and that preacher had been telling him you can get the Holy Ghost anywhere, and he thought, now, I know my wife got something that I've never seen her have before. She's a different person. Everything in her life has changed. I feel something about her. And he said, whatever that is, Lord, I want that. And he knelt down under the hickory nut tree and he began to pray and talk to God. And pretty soon the Holy Ghost fell on him. He began to speak with other tongues. She was washing dishes, looking out the window on the path, the cow path that come up to the barn. And she saw him come out of the woods and he was just going all around, the dust a flying. You know how an old cow path is where it's dry, you know, a little dust a flying. And he was just spinning around. And she thought he got in a hornet's nest. She grabbed the hornet spray and headed out to meet him. Oh, come on, can you see? There's a lot of fun in this, too. And she headed out to meet him, and when she got about 20 foot of it, she realized he had the Holy Ghost. Come on, can you say amen? I'll tell you what, there's a little bit of humor in this thing, too. God is not so dry that we can't enjoy and have some humor in it. Now, he didn't do that for humor. He done that because he seen her different. And the Holy Ghost changes us. And that's what he's saying there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. It said, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with open face beholding as in a glass. What are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. What happens to us? We change into the same image from glory to glory. When we begin to change into the image of the Lord, we begin to act on God's word. We begin to talk things. Hebrews chapter 1 said Jesus was the express image of the Father's person. How many knows God's a person? Huh? Jesus was the express image of his person. Then the Holy Ghost, he's an express image of Jesus. They look alike. They act alike. How many knows what they act? They act out the spiritual thing in your life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. I'll tell you, that's been the theme of this revival, and I want it to stay the theme, and I hope that you receive something that you'll never shake off, never want to shake off, but it will enter in stronger and stronger and stronger. So he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now what's he talking about? This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Couldn't get it because Jesus hadn't been glorified. Now, when Jesus was glorified, it says over in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. How many power? You'll have power. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost. You'll receive power when he comes upon you. Amen. Now there's a difference in him coming upon you and being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, now here's another thing that I want to get to. You know, sometimes we get a spiritual blessing at church and we think that we've got the power, but maybe we didn't get the Holy Ghost in us. If I take this here and fill it with water and pour it on you, are you full of water? No. But if I can get you to drink this whole thing, then you're full of water. You got the amount of water that I held up for you. And that's what he's talking about believing. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly, his innermost being. We got to get this on the inside of us. More. Somebody said, how much you got? I don't know, but I want some more. I'm ready for a runaway right now. And somebody said, I don't know what a runaway is. Well, you will when you get full of the Holy Ghost. You know, you might have a little joy and a little bit of something like that when the Holy Ghost gets on you. Why, you can always feel it when it gets on. When you come to church and you feel His presence, you feel something there, and it's an anticipation, and it's something that's got power in it, but it's not in you yet. That's what people comes to pray. They pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now in the Old Testament, Elijah, the Spirit of the Lord come upon him and he outrun the horses into Jezreel. I'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord gets on you, I mean, it'll do that. But Elijah didn't have the Holy Ghost like we get it today, the infinite. You know why? Because Jesus paid the whole price that you and I. Come on, he walked the shores of Galilee. He picked out 12 apostles. He went through all the procedures. He died upon the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He was resurrected. He ascended on high. He sat down at the right hand of the Father and prayed the Father that he'd send another comforter. Huh? Another comforter? Guess who that is? The Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Ghost from heaven. Another comforter. The Holy Ghost. Well, somebody said, I don't want to make a fool of myself and act like this and act like that. You ain't going to make no fool of yourself acting like the Holy Ghost. Huh? He don't make no mistake. Everything is done, the Holy Ghost is done in decency and order. Somebody said, well, what all about emotions and commotions? Well, it don't hurt to get emotional once in a while, does it? Huh? I got emotional when I got saved. I got saved one morning in St. Louis, Missouri, in an old apartment building. I was there working. And God was dealing with me, been dealing with me for 2 or 3 years, and I was just having all kinds of things going wrong and all these kind of things. And one morning, I just gave in. I fell on my face, and I gave my heart to God. I tell you, I had runaways all over the place. The devil said to me, people next door in the next apartment's going to hear you. And I said, I don't care if they do hear me. I praise God. I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. And it's not emotion. It's not something I'm ashamed of.
Huh? If you're ashamed of him down here, you'd be ashamed of us up there.
So we're talking about a concrete experience with God that most people turn down, when that's the very one they need. How many needs power?
Acts 1 and 8, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
How many knows the Holy Ghost is anointed? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many would like to see that? Somebody said, yeah, that was Jesus done that. Well, who you think that is on the inside of you if you're saved? That's Jesus. It's no longer you. It's Him. You're converted. You're changed. You're a different person. And if you make a mistake, right quick, but get it right with God, and the waters will continue to flow. You won't start off perfect, but I'll guarantee you one thing. If you really get down to business and get this thing that I'm talking about tonight, the Holy Ghost, and get it not just on you, but get Him on the inside of you,
you will never be the same. You'll never be the same. I believe we ought to just pray like we've been praying here. I don't know how many's got the Holy Ghost and how many's not. That's none of my business. That's between you and God. My business is to preach to you the truth. And John 8:32 said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But He spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now He's died upon the cross, He's glorified, and all these particular things are for us right now. Now John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness. There's a voice one crying in the wilderness. And he said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, "There's one that's coming after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the what? The Holy Ghost and fire." Now, I don't hear much preaching on the fire anymore. I guess they don't like the fire, but I want to tell you something. There's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what we need to be baptized with. You know, the Holy Ghost, it's the waters that flows, and the fire is the power. Can you say amen? He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek, and whosoever believeth. Come on, can you say amen? God wants us to have this power in our church, in our minds, in our homes, in ourselves. The power that worketh in you. Now, I want to go back to one scripture that I quoted two or three times and go back to Ephesians, and you read it with me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I want you to read that, every one of you read it. Ephesians 3:20. Talking about Him that's able. How many believe Jesus is able? Oh, yes, He's able. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. Here's the catch. According to the power that works in us. If we don't have the faith, that's the power. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said out of his mouth. He that believeth on me. Listen, now unto him that is able to do it. Who is he? Jesus Christ. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. That's the fire. He wants to get the fire on the inside of us. And he's able to do anything that you ask or think, more than abundantly of anything that you can ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in you. If we're not seeking the power and getting the power on the inside of that, we're not going to climb that ladder. We're not going to climb it. We'll play out about halfway up. Amen. Jacob, you know, dreamed of a ladder. An angel was going up and down. He was in a terrible shape at that time. He was just what we call in between a rock and a hard place. He made a rock his pillow all night. But he finally got himself straightened out. He finally made it.